Trigger warnings for this episode can be found in the description below. Leftovers at the End of the World, Episode 3, Lighthouses for the Lost.
Wow. That was quite a premonition, wasn't it, listeners? Can't say I've ever had that kind of dream. Well, that's the last one for this morning's Dream With Me segment. If you've got a crazy dream, premonition, or bout of spewing madness, write a letter and submit your stories to the station. The forecast, or nowcast, I should say, looks like it's going to be a bad storm. Based on those rumbles, I tried to stay out of the water. And as usual, I'll be keeping an eye to the sky.
I shouldn't have waited to fix those stupid cracks. Ugh, where did I put my toolbox? Oh, hello, there you are. Alrighty, you. Let's go do some repairs. Ugh. Music for me, I guess. Hey, Jeremiah.
Hey! Good to see you. What brings you here? A delivery? For me, perhaps? A letter? A letter for me?
A letter? You know I don't do mail. I'm here for a leaky roof repair. You were the closest place for me to dock.
Oh, that's too bad. The radio's new. What happened to the old one?
Oh, it was going bad, but Elena had this one, and she said she'd give it to me for parts. But it just works, so I just use it now.
And it's portable? For something that size? Nice.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Can I look at it?
Sure.
Huh. It's heavier than I thought. Anak, this is... it's a real junker piece. I'm surprised it works at all. You fixed this on your own?
I feel like I should be insulted, but yes, I fixed it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound rude.
How's Ethel?
She hasn't sent me a letter in a week.
Oh.
It's not an O situation.
Oh?
We've been exchanging letters every other day since we split, so it's not like her to not send a letter back. She even missed our daily radio check-ins. You know... even though we're not physically together, our love isn't any less than any other couple who does spend every day together.
Well, did you try...
try sending her more letters, hoping that she'll respond? And continue to do the daily radio check? Yes! I've got no response back. And I know she's up there because I've asked the mail couriers to check if the lighthouse is running. And they say it is.
Did you do something to piss her off?
You think I haven't checked? I've been reading and rereading all of our letters for any sign of argument, but there isn't any.
Okay, so why not get someone to cover for you and go up there?
Well, actually...
oh, of course. I like you, Jerry, but there's gotta be a trade in it for me.
Next time you need repairs, I'll give you the parts you need. Doesn't matter how many, what kind or anything, any parts, all of it.
Wait, really?
Yes, really. All you have to do is go up there and check.
Yeah, deal.
Yes!
Not that I'm complaining, but I'm glad you didn't ask me to run the light while you went up there.
I love my wife, but she would definitely be mad if I left the house for her.
Really? But she's your wife. Wouldn't she understand?
I'm sure you know how important the lighthouses are.
Well, yeah. Without you, we'd all be eaten by now.
Well, Ethel takes our jobs very seriously. Very.
I mean, I know she's proud of being a keeper, but she's that dedicated?
It's not her fault.
What do you mean?
Have you ever run into the jellyfish?
Jellyfish? Here, are you crazy?
I heard from my grandmother that they used to be gentle.
Gentle? Really? Wait, hang on, your grandmother?
Great, technically. She was really old.
How long is really old?
120-something? She was involved in a cult thing that let her live longer. Probably like a sacrifice thing, I don't really know. She had dementia for her last 50 years.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, that's gotta be rough.
Thanks. When she was lucid, she would tell me stories about what it was like before the old gods came and left. Especially about what a lot of the creatures used to be like the jellyfish.
And they used to be gentle.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, crazy. Where am I?
Have you ever had a run-in with them?
Nope. Can you hand me that wrench? Yeah, thanks.
I have.
And you're alive? I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know why I sounded surprised.
I mean, almost didn't make it out alive. Well, we almost didn't. You know we're from Central California, right?
Yeah, but you've been here a really long time.
Yeah, well, when we were moving down here, that was the first time. Ethel and I were 19 on this rickety old boat. You know, looking back, I'm surprised we even lived. That thing was even worse than your radio.
Don't insult my radio.
Sorry. It was a 3-day trip, so we figured we'd try to push through the night on our last day. An extra hour on the water wouldn't be such a bad risk.
Wow, you really should have died.
Yeah, no, don't look at me like that. But when you grow up sheltered like we did, you just kind of start to think everything was a ghost story.
What kind of shelter did you grow up in?
The cult kind.
Oh.
So when the sun started setting, we just kept sailing, and when nothing happened to us, it just confirmed that everything was just ghost stories. Yeah, I know, it was stupid. Go back to work and stop looking at me like that.
Fine.
It had been hours, and when we finally reached Phoenix Ocean, the sun was still setting. It was a little strange, but, you know, the green-purple sunset is really hard to ignore. So we just kind of thought, you know, time worked differently in Arizona. Stop that. I can feel your judgment.
Time works differently in Arizona?
We grew up in a cult. Stop being mean.
You're right. Sorry. Go on. I'll stop.
Thank you. So it was 8 o'clock at night and the sun was still setting. We really thought the leftover gods loved us. Or we were just super lucky, because so far nothing bad happened and the sun was still up. We thought they were blessing us with light. So we kept sailing, and after a while, I couldn't ignore how uneasy I felt. I checked the time, and that's when I realized that it was about to be midnight. I was really starting to get worried because we should have arrived already.
What was Ethel doing? No offense, but I feel like she would have noticed a lot sooner than you did.
I was letting Ethel take a nap. I didn't want to disturb her, because she just looks so cute when she's sleeping. The way that her jaw kind of hangs open and her bottom teeth poke out. But I didn't want to handle that time mess on my own, and she's so much smarter than me, so I woke her up. I'm glad she's a morning person.
Don't you mean a night person?
What? No. It means that she can just wake up and be alert really fast.
So why would you say morning? Never mind. Go on.
Well, I felt guilty for waking her up. Because she thought we'd already arrived and that I was ready to carry her to shore like we always fantasized.
Huh, cute.
I decided to try and act like everything was okay, but she saw right through me, and I told her everything. I could tell she was trying to rationalize what I was saying because she kept saying stuff like, the clock is wrong, and that there's gotta be an actual reason. You know, she's so smart.
Jerry,
she is, and I'm gonna brag about it.
Oh, no, I was just gonna ask you if you could pass that extra panel I left leaning on the bench.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine.
Ethel suggested that we actually go outside and look.
Wait, you hadn't already done that?
That's what she said, too. Anyway, we got outside and looked and just... Wow, it was so incredible. The moon was out and the ocean looked so sparkly. And under the water, there was a horde of jellyfish.
Oh no.
It wasn't. Not for us.
Oh, cult, right?
Yep. We didn't know they were dangerous. We just saw a whole beautiful glowing army of pink. They were the ones creating our sunset. So pretty. Just like my beautiful Ethel's cheeks when she blushes. And back then, to us, anything and everything was a sign. So of course, under a full moon and our own personal sunset, I knew we'd done the right thing by coming here. I hugged Ethel as tightly as I could and told her that they were our protectors. I'm glad we didn't end up worshipping them.
That was an option for you?
If you ever experience what it's like to be under their influence, you'd get it too. Their light was so mesmerizing, and I was hypnotized by their patterns and the way they moved. It was like all the best parts about dreaming, except I was awake. My head was floating, and I started feeling tingly all over. Nothing else in the world mattered except for me and Ethel. It was like they were dancing just for us. And then they started to sing. I got caught up in their music and took Ethel's hand and started to sway along.
You danced? Just like that?
I mean, we thought we were blessed. We weren't gonna waste the opportunity to show the gods we appreciated it.
Oh! Ooh! Ha, hmm.
Sorry!
Are you okay?
There were gatherings in the cult, so I wasn't an entirely useless dance partner. I mean, normally I'm stumbling and stepping all over her toes, like now, but not for the jellyfish.
What do you mean? You just suddenly knew how to dance?
I don't know. I just was normal about it. The way we moved was so in sync with their dance. I knew it was some kind of beautiful love magic, and that they were guiding our every move. I swear, we were being lifted to a whole new level of existence.
Did you think you were about to ascend?
No, I didn't. But we kept dancing until the waters began to rise up like a dome of water and light. I tilted my head back as I felt the sprays of cool water sprinkle me with kisses. I heard Ethel giggle like she was drunk, and I laughed with her. I swear, she and I were glowing. And I will never forget what happened next, because she made me the happiest man alive. She looked at me with her gorgeous golden eyes and asked me to marry her.
You know, I never realized that Ethel proposed to you.
You thought I did?
Well, yeah. I kind of thought you were the type who proposed after meeting her for the first time and, I don't know, fell in love after the first handshake. Something stupid like that.
Close, but it wasn't a handshake. And I didn't want to propose because, well, I wanted her to fall in love with me, too.
Oh, that's actually very sweet. So, your engagement?
I said yes, of course. We didn't have rings, but there was a bit of seaweed that got stuck on our boat. So she got some, and we tied them around our fingers. Then she kissed me. And the dome closed in on us. It was supposed to be a perfect moment. Except... Through the kiss, I could feel my skin starting to peel away as the jellyfish started to attach themselves to us. Every touch crumbled pieces of me away. And I mean that literally. Chunks of my flesh were falling off like sand. It hurt, but not as much as I know it should have. It was like someone took sandpaper to my skin and just started rubbing. But it was nothing compared to the euphoria of kissing Ethel. Her kisses can heal anything.
Was she healing you?
No. The sandpaper feeling didn't last long. The pain turned into a dull, jagged knife scraping across my skin and digging into my bones. It was agonizing. Suddenly, the lights were gone. Ethel and I crumpled to the ground, screaming as venom ripped through our skin. I didn't even know we were capable of making screams that visceral. I couldn't even hear Ethel over my own screams. I couldn't even focus on her because the pain made my vision blurry. I was ready to vomit blood when we were suddenly bathed in a harsh spotlight. The jellyfish that had been on the boat with us were writhing in agony, and the ones not in the boat with us dropped back into the ocean. Through our screams, I heard a foghorn, and shortly after, there was a boat coming for us. I couldn't see anything, but I heard it coming for us. I also didn't have much time to think anyway, because, well, I blacked out.
Oh. Wow. I mean, I'm glad you survived. How long were you out?
I woke up a week later with Ethel by my side. She was holding my hand. Well, the one that I didn't lose, obviously. She didn't look well. Lost her left arm and had new scars on her back from the jellyfish.
And you, besides your missing hand?
I was covered in bandages, but the seaweed ring was still tied to my finger. And that was the most important thing. Ethel told me we were rescued by Laverna, the lighthouse keeper here before me.
Oh, yeah. I met Laverna a few times as a kid. Really intense lady.
She really was. A lot more than that, too. I came to think of her like the mother I wish I had. I think I really latched on when I met her for the first time.
Wait, she rescued you? I don't remember her having a partner. Did she leave the lighthouse just for you two?
Yep. That was the bright light we saw. She was scaring away the jellyfish. That's when Laverna told me they were actually predatory, and using their music and lights to lure us into a relaxed state so they could eat us. I thanked her for everything that she'd done for us. I also explained that we didn't have anything to trade, but we'd pay her back as soon as we could.
She agreed to that? I would have laughed at you.
I'm glad she didn't laugh, but I could tell she almost did. She asked me what our plans were, and I told her our plans were to get married, and to set up a stall somewhere and hope for the best.
Hope for the best. That was your plan.
Well, yeah.
It's not a very good one.
Laverna thought so too. She actually laughed that time. I thought Ethel was going to defend me, but she didn't. She was quiet and looked nervous. You know her. She's not like that.
She knew something, didn't she?
Yep. Ethel explained that Laverna wanted us to be her replacements. She was getting old and didn't have anyone to take over the lighthouse when she was gone. She would train us, we'd all get to live together, and because we'd be together, we'd never be lonely. All I heard was that our futures were being handed to us like a nice big fish, and I'd be by Ethel's side forever. That was all I needed to say yes.
That's a pretty good deal. More than good, actually.
Sometimes I wish I could go back in time. Tell my past self how to make that future real.
So what happened?
For the next 6 years, Laverna trained us to run the lighthouse. Ethel and I were fast learners, and the three of us soon became a family. Laverna even married us. It was a beautiful little ceremony with just the three of us. With real rings this time. Because the seaweed got itchy, and it wasn't a good long-term solution anyway. I wish it lasted longer, but it was January. Right at sunset, too. We got a distress call from Flagstaff. There was an incoming storm with several boaters who were about to get stranded because their lighthouse was running out of fuel.
Running out of fuel? That's extremely unusual.
I know. I didn't know how it happened. I never got the chance to ask, either.
So why your house? Flagstaff is far, and it's not even a reasonable distance.
Well, the other lighthouses might have been closer, but we were the only ones who had fuel to spare.
No, that doesn't sound right. Not a single house?
None. Laverna volunteered to make the trip and told us to keep ours running. We wanted to argue because she would have to travel long past nightfall, but we knew if that she didn't, then those boaters would be lost and their deaths would be our fault.
Oh.
I hated that we did it, but we said our goodbyes and we told her that we'd see her again tomorrow. When she came home. Ethel and I went up to the top of the lighthouse to watch Laverna for as long as we could, but the storm was rolling in faster than we thought, and the sun just vanished. Then the rain came, and the jellyfish began to hunt. But we knew what to do. We trained the light, followed Laverna, and protected her from the creatures, and then lightning shattered the glass and snuffed out the light.
It shattered the glass? Oh, I haven't experienced a storm that bad since I was a kid. What did you do?
Ethel and I went into panic mode. We knew what to do. Laverna trained us for it, but not when there were jellyfish. We scrambled to try and get it working, but the damage had been done, and there was nothing we could do. The jellyfish had already zeroed in on Laverna. All we could do was watch.
Was it... oh, God. Was it bad?
Seeing it from the outside was so much worse than I expected. Those dancing glorious lights weren't hypnotic or soothing like I remembered them. They were coordinated and deadly, and I realized that the jellyfish were masterful hunters. The patterns weren't random, and their movements weren't graceful. It was a dance of precision designed to confuse their prey. The boat wasn't even moving because of the way the jellyfish manipulated the waters around them. That was the dancing we saw. There was purpose. They were keeping their victims in one place. I expected the waters to rise, but they didn't. Instead, the jellyfish began to form a ring around the boat, creating a small whirlpool. I don't even understand how such small creatures were able to manipulate water like that. But the boat, it started to sink and the dome started to form. And Laverna, she was about to be gone.
Why didn't you try to do anything?
I was frozen. I couldn't even move. I just kept staring. I remembered Ethel yanked at me and she screamed that we needed to save her. I didn't argue. I mean, how could I? But? We had a small speedboat that would at least get us to Laverna and back home.
You needed to make a choice.
Part of me knew that those stranded boaters were gonna die, but... you can judge me all you want. I'm sorry. I didn't care.
I'm not. I wouldn't.
You mean that?
We've all had to make a choice like that.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Did you make it to Laverna?
We raced down the stairs. I guess the leftover gods decided to punish me because I slipped on the stairs and shattered my leg. There was no way I was making the rescue. I'm so selfish because I wanted to beg her not to leave me. But I saw something in her eyes. She loved me, but she needed to leave me. There were lives to save. My heart broke when she kissed me. She said that she loved me, but she said it like it was the last time we were ever going to see each other. She was right, but I didn't want her to be. I told her I loved her, and I begged her to change her mind, but she didn't. And then she was gone. We haven't seen each other since then.
Wow, that was... really the last time?
Yeah. I never wanted to be alone, and I mean, we send letters and we talk over the radio, but it's not the same.
I can imagine.
Ethel sent me a letter the next evening. She'd been able to rescue Laverna, but she died on the way up to Flagstaff. The lighthouse got their parts, but its keeper had died during the storm trying to keep the lights from going out. He was old, and his heart couldn't take the strain. Sorry, you probably didn't want to hear that.
No, that's... it's okay. You miss her.
I have another letter for her. If you can take that when you go up there. I'll trade for it, too.
It's fine. I'll take it.
You should dock for the night. That doesn't look or sound good.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that. Sorry, Ethel will have to wait till tomorrow.
Come on, let's go inside. Those waves don't look comfortable to sleep on tonight.
Thanks. Let me clean up and I'll join you inside.
Sure.
Wash those later. Oh, Ethel. I wonder if she's still alive. I hope so.
Ethel, running. Out of fuel. Running.
What in
out,
the?
Out. Ethel. Out. Out. Out.
Ugh, I must be picking up Jerry's podcast. Out. Stop that.
Out. Out. Ow. Ow.
Ooh.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
And that was Palusa's last song before she was unfortunately sacrificed by the Havasu cult. Speaking of cults, has anyone spotted the new robes that Tombstone is sporting? I'm not one for robes, but I must say, theirs are pretty nice. Me gusta! Up next, we have Blue Sail South by the Turtles. That's Turtles with an O.
Welcome back. I've got fresh mussels in the oven. Okay, well, maybe like about to go bad and I need to cook them, mussels. But I was able to trade for some extra spices, so hopefully it'll cover, you know.
Been there. Listen, Jerry, I have to ask you. I know it's not a question you'd like to hear, but...
You want to know what happens if Ethel isn't there, or if something happened to her.
Yeah.
If something's happened, will you just find out for me? I don't need details, just... I want to know.
And if she's not around anymore?
If there's a body, her wedding ring, I'm not going to make you bring her back, but...
Don't. I'll bring her home if I can.
Thank you. Right, mussels.
Need help?
Can you get the plates? They're in the tall cabinet.
Sure. Is there a stool? Oh, never mind. I see it.
While you're over there, can you turn on the radio? I want to hear El Seguado's evening broadcast.
Yeah.
And that's it for the weather. I hope you're all enjoying dinner time, because have I got a story for all of you. We all know and remember the town of Waddell and the busting trade hub that it used to be before Reverend Stokes turned it into a cult central. Well, it turns out that all this time there's been one resident living there. I'm redacting their name for privacy reasons, of course, so let's call this person... Barry. Well, recent reports have found their way to me, and I am delighted and fascinated to report that Barry has finally ventured out and left Waddell. He now lives in another port town, and I hope he's living his best life. To all of you, I'm issuing a warning. While it might seem like a good idea to wander west, I would strongly advise against it. There was a reason the town's population dwindled, so best not to disrupt whatever ecosystem it's got. And my last announcement for the night is a change in creature migration. Winter is coming to an end soon, and we all know what that means. Be on the lookout for the summer skies and those venomous cicadas. One bite, and you're a goner. That's it for me tonight. The sun is setting, so you all know what that means. Stay inside, stay asleep, and stay safe. You'll hear me again bright and early tomorrow morning. Our last song for the night is Goodbye to Goodbye by Scream the Whales. Hasta la próxima.
Episode 3 featured Simon Saboski as Jeremiah, Kennedy Rianne as Anuk, and Manu A as El Saguaro. This episode was written and produced by Kennedy Rianne. All licensing information can be found on the website at leftoversattheendoftheworld.com. Thanks for listening. Marami pong salamat sa inyong pagtangkilik.